And on the line now, I have Olga McDonagh. She's CEO of ActionAid Ireland. Good afternoon, Olga. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Good afternoon.
Okay, before we talk about the work you're doing at the moment, tell us a little bit of background about ActionAid, because it's more widespread than what we're going to talk about now.
Okay. Well, ActionAid is an international development organisation, and ActionAid Ireland is an affiliate. And we work in 45 countries, working in a whole variety of areas, such as education and women's rights and water and sanitation and emergencies. And we work in countries in Africa, Asia and Latin America generally. And then there are ActionAids in about 8 countries in Europe, including Ireland. And ActionAid Ireland is 30 years old last year, founded in 1983 by a group of Irish people. And we have about 7,000 supporters in Ireland who support our work very generously.
Now, you have a website.
And we also get funding from the Irish government through the Department of Foreign Affairs and Irish Aid.
Okay, the website is actionaid.ie if people want to find out everything about that, about the funding of it. Do you want to make donations indeed? About the work you're doing at the moment now, it's a country, Vietnam, 40, 50 years ago, I mean, you couldn't pick up a paper and not watch the TV without seeing Vietnam on it or something
exactly. And
horrible at the time, and then relatively forgotten about over the past 50 years. So what's happening there at the moment?
Well, we support work in Vietnam, and Vietnam is a developing country, and it has made a lot of progress in terms of the economy. But there are a lot of forgotten people in Vietnam who still live in poverty, and they are mostly ethnic minority groups. So the majority people in Vietnam are called Kinh. And then the ethnic minority groups, and there are about 56 of them, tend to be living along the mountains and down the backbone, if you like, of Vietnam, which is a mountainous area as well. So they live up in the north on the borders along with China. The land is very poor. It's very hilly. And life is really tough for them. And we're trying to help them with education for their children, supporting them to improve their livelihoods in whatever way they can earn their living, whether it's cultivating vegetables and grain and rice to live on and then to sell. And we have a particular focus on education at the moment. So we're training teachers. We're trying to provide materials for schools. And the whole objective is to improve the quality of education and try and keep kids in school. Because as we all know, if your kids have a good education, then it helps them to improve their lives.
Okay. It works all the way along the line when the education brings some meaning to life as well. Now, the cultivation and the tillage, is that something they would have to be educated in as well because of the situation over the past 50 years?
Exactly, yeah, because they want what we're trying to do is support them, you know, to have better quality rice crops and then to have a more varied diet as well, so growing a variety of vegetables and foodstuffs. Also forestry, because as you can imagine, along the hills, they've actually gone right up the hills in terms of trying to grow rice. And then you have soil erosion, so in the winter time, you have got a lot of drought, and then when you have the rainy season, a lot of the land is washed away. So it's trying to deal with soil erosion and plan the crops so you're not taking all the good out of the soil all at one time.
Isn't it amazing?
Forestry.
Yeah, I'm just thinking as you're talking there, Olga, isn't it amazing all the time how relative things are to the extent of my people complaining here about lots of things? I mean, rightly so in a lot of cases, but at the same time, how little can do so much in a country like Vietnam? You're talking about children and teachers and how much they're paid, dollars. Are they paid in dollars over there?
It would be the equivalent. No, they'd be paid in their own currency.
Okay.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's equivalent 60. Yeah, it's and the sponsorship of the children. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, well, ActionAid has child sponsorship in Vietnam, and the child sponsorship money is used for the activities that happen in the particular community that you're linked to. And that can be a whole range of things. So education, as I mentioned already, would always be a very important part. And then also, you know, if people need water, it's helping them to get well, it's helping them to get better seeds for their agriculture. Maybe they need garden tools and farming tools or whatever. So it's basically looking at the community and working with them and seeing what they need and how we can support them. And it's all, people are fantastic in Vietnam. They work so hard. They're very good humoured. They're really great people. And they have a great sense of independence. I mean, you know, Vietnam is the only country in the world, I think, that has fought off four major powers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They've... Yeah, if you think about it, there's the US, China, and France and Russia mm-hmm. have all tried to occupy and take over Vietnam. And okay. so they have that wonderful sense of independence, which is really fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, as well as all the great educational work there as well, but you have problems with human trafficking and also food security. What do you mean by food security?
Food security is about to make sure that people have enough to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And the temptation often in countries like Vietnam is that in the areas where they grow a lot of rice, that they're inclined to want to export it. And then you have to make sure that there's food security for the country, which means that the country has enough rice. I mean, there's been quite a few examples of that over the years in developing countries where rice has been exported and yet people are hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to do is to work at a village level so that they can plan to have enough rice throughout the year. So they build storage places so that they can keep the rice safe and, you know, dry mm-hmm. and away from termites and stuff like that, mm-hmm. little animals, until they're ready to use it.
Okay.
So that's what we mean by food security.
How bad is the human trafficking element?
It's increasing, unfortunately. There are a lot of women, Vietnamese women, trafficked over to Taiwan and then across the borders to Cambodia as well and to Laos, but particularly to Cambodia and Taiwan. And, you know, if these young women are living in rural villages with no prospect of earning a living, so... they're often just trafficked. So people will come to the village, and I've met families when I've been there, and they've told me, like, these people came and said, they sell them the ideas. They say, oh, you know, if you let your daughter go to Taiwan, she'll have a fantastic job. She'll be able to, you know, send money home and mm-hmm. so on. And then, of course, when they get to Taiwan, they find that they've been cheated. They've been forced into these arranged marriages. To older or wealthier Taiwanese men who don't often treat them very well. And then there's a huge job to try and get them back because they don't have the money to come home, so mm-hmm. they're really captive there.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of, as well, there's a lot of the young women who go to work in the cities, and the cities in Vietnam are really big and industrial.
Mm-hmm.
They work in these big factories, and they just work 14 hours a day and go home to very poor conditions, and they very rarely get back to their own homes. I mean, if you're only getting something like $20 a month, it's nothing, you know, for a family.
Mm-hmm. I suppose that the core is the education, because, as you say there, women's rights over there are minimal. But apart from the women, the education, but we're getting that out to them as well, and so that they'll be able to distinguish what is real and what isn't, to the extent of promises that are made. That's part of the work that you're doing there.
Exactly, yes. And it's like, if you can imagine the young women that leave the villages to go and work in the factories, if they had a higher level of education, then they'd have more opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And hence, then they would have more opportunities for their families. So the families are so poor, they have nothing, really.
Mm-hmm.
So they think that by going to work in the city, it's going to be better. And that's normal. That happens all over the world. But then when they get there, there's so little money that they actually can send home to their family. Mm-hmm. And then they're treated very badly. I mean, the work is just... I've been outside factories at 8, 9 and 10 o'clock in the evening when they come out with my colleagues, and like they're just completely exhausted and they just go home and fall asleep and then get up the next morning and start all over again. So it's there's no concept like we have here of unions or workers' rights or anything like that. So what we're trying to do is to support people to set up, you know, either the equivalent of a trade union or a trade union movement. But it's about, you know, you have rights to only work a certain number of hours a day, to have breaks, to be paid properly, you know, what we would consider very basic here.
Basic and normal. And as regards the government, I don't know, I saw a documentary a few years ago, now it might have nothing to do with Vietnam at all, but it was an Asian country where people had problems holding on to the land that they more or less owned, but and it was being taken off them in carpetbagger fashion by the government. Are there any problems like that in Vietnam?
No, not so much. Land grabs is another issue that we work on, but not in Vietnam.
Okay.
We have a lot of problems with land grabs, for example, in somewhere like Cambodia, where families lose their land on a regular basis. It's a big issue, but not in Vietnam, no.
Okay. Okay, so work is ongoing there, and obviously it's very successful to the extent that the more you can do, the more help you can get from the public, no matter what way it is. And a lot of people, volunteers involved in ActionAid.
We have volunteers here in the office in Dublin who help us with quite a lot of work, but we don't have volunteers overseas, no, because in each of the countries we have local staff.
Okay.
And the local staff are fantastic. So they know more than any of us know about their own country. So they're running the programme in their own country. And our role is to support them and help them to do that.
Okay. Now, anyone that listening to us now, Olga, wants to give any support, help in any way at all, what should they do?
Well, they can go on our website, which is www.actionaid.ie. And there's a facility on that if they want to make a donation and if they want to know more about our work. Or they can phone our office at Dublin number 01-8787-911. And we'll be happy to tell them how they can help us.
Okay, listen, thank you very much. Congratulations to yourself and everyone at the agency there.
And
ActionAid.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. And that is, of course, Olga McDonough, and she's a CEO of ActionAid Ireland. And they work right across Africa, Cambodia, as she mentioned there, and Vietnam, and lots of work over the past many years. So if you can help in any way, and the wonderful work they're doing, and how so little can go so far. And I think, sort of, I'm not being flippant in any way. I'm going to play this song. It's Elton John. I'd no idea to the extent, but I just said, yeah. And from something Olga said, how they've stood up to four major powers over the past 80 years, whatever it may be, France, I think Belgium was in there. I'm not sure, but I know America and all that. But they're still standing, and just a little bit of help from ActionAid.